We have a little mantra here, which is there's never been a problem that hasn't been solved. Anything in our lives, in work, if you think about it, we're still there. Somehow we solved the problem.
Welcome to another Spotlight session on the Contenting Business podcast. Today, we have Anna Smith, who's the co-founder and recruitment director of Beyond the Book, who are a full-service specialist creative and marketing recruiter. Thanks for taking the time to join us on the show, Anna.
No problem at all.
I think, first of all, tell us about Beyond the Book.
Okay, so a bit of a long history there. Going back where my career started, I worked in the creative marketing industry, in the client services side of things, in various creative and marketing agencies. I think that was probably for like 12 years. So both permanently and I went freelance. So worked in a variety of agencies. And then kind of life events brought me from Bristol up to the Midlands and, with two young kids and, found myself in a specialist creative and marketing recruitment agency where I launched the freelance side. And a couple of years on, I met Sal and we decided to set up Beyond the Book. And the main reason for that is because really what I could see when it comes to creative and marketing recruitment is that there was a real gap there in terms of quality. And with my background in the industry, and I knew how discerning the industry is and should be, I could see that you could bring the principles of really great industry account management into recruitment, and, you know, stellar project management and a real eye on what great looks like. So we opened our doors in April 2009. So a fair while ago. I think we're in our 15th year now. And we kind of just have steadily sort of grown organically. So we opened our doors as a freelance agency, so helping agency and in-house brands source or trusted freelancers. And then out of those relationships came the permanent side of things. Fairly soon probably a year or two in, we sort of launched ourselves into the permanent side of things. And then 15 years on, we're still here. We're still specialists in creative and marketing. We call ourselves full service because that really is all about the fact that it's permanent, it's freelance, it's contract, it's what we've done since day one, which I think is actually quite important because you need to be able to flex between the two, the three, in terms of offering, you know, the right type of resource for clients at any one time. And obviously times are changeable. So we offer all those three services. We are still specialists in creative and marketing. That covers the whole spectrum. So that's everything from creative and design, artwork and production, film and motion, generalist marketing, digital marketing, category, product, all of it, events, and business development. So we've got all sort of skill bases covered here. Our office or our hub, if you like, is in the Midlands, but for 15 years, all our clients have been in central England. So that big spread across the whole middle of the country, kind of from Worcestershire right through to Hertfordshire, Oxfordshire, up to Nottinghamshire. That's kind of where our kind of core network is. But post-pandemic, our capability is UK-wide. So outside of that core area, we've got London clients and Bristol clients, and even up in the north. What else do you need to know?
I think straight away for me, you know, the way you mentioned that you saw, you know, a gap in the market there, you know, the creative and marketing side, that specialist side. I mean, that just, you know, that's a great way to start a business, isn't it? You know, because it's so hard to differentiate from competitors in so many industries that the fact that you could, it obviously shows, you know, that you had that keen eye to spot that, but also the confidence to fill that gap in the market.
Yeah. And it's just so important. I mean, there's a place for everyone in the world and there are recruiters which can be very skill based. and clients which just are quite happy just to get CVs and, you know, and it's kind of more skill-based. But our industry really isn't like that. Even if a skill set is more skill-based, there's still levels of talent you need with, you know, within that. And as the world's become more and more specialist on the agency side, you've got all sorts of types of agencies. You've got integrated, specialist in what they do, or specialist in the industries they serve. So even when you get a skill-based job to work on, it still normally comes with layers of ideally from that industry or within that type of agency or working for these types of brands. So it's just really, really important that we've got the knowledge to be able to kind of extract the most perfect brief so that we can go out and find the perfect person. You know, what Beyond the Book have never been about is about let's go and find lots of candidates and something will stick. Our kind of best fit clients, if you like, are the ones which really want their time protected, and they want someone who's going to do a damn good job and provide them with a selection of candidates, but really strong ones where they're happy to interview that sort of small selection of strong candidates who've got a fighting chance of staying for as long as possible. So retention for our clients is really important. We want them to stay. So, and you know what, we enjoy what we do. You know, most of us are from the industry as well. So our reputation in the industry is really important to us. So that whole sales thing, bit of a dirty word here. Like our belief, I mean, every business has got targets, et cetera, but we've got a lot of breathing space here to say, do the right job and the income follows. Actually that works. We're much more about, you know, steady, great recruitment to try and find the right people for the long term. Yeah. You know, our challenge really is clients who experience that, love it. And so we keep a lot of our clients for the long term. Our challenge really is getting those clients in the first place to then educate them or give them that experience.
Yeah.
So hence doing podcasts this next year. Get the word out.
Fantastic.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love that though, you know, operate with integrity and, you know, and only good things will follow. So has the journey so far, has it been everything that you expected?
Blimey. The world's very changeable, certainly in the last 3 years. What's the journey been like? The journey in the early days was really surprising. So after forgetting the freelance side, because that is 100%. We need a great freelancer. We need them next week, you know, or for the next few months, and they need to be bang on and hit the ground running. On the permanent side, where our you know, proposition really was, hey, there's a gap in the market. Come to us because, of course, you want a good recruiter. That was the most surprising journey, that actually most recruiters are not qualified when they're called from a potential piece of new, you know, a new prospect. They're not qualified on their quality. So I can probably count on one hand in 15 years how many times the phone has rung and asked us for our quality credentials. It's always fees, rebates.
Yeah.
How many candidates have you got in your database? Now, again, it's not necessarily a wrong thing. It's just an education piece that not all recruiters are the same. And actually, you can get different types of value from different recruiters. So we've been kind of trying to educate the market more than we thought we actually had to. But like I said, as soon as you get clients who experience it, and then they see that their candidates, the new employee, is staying for a really healthy amount of time, our business relies on repeat business. It's just the surprise has been capturing those clients who genuinely see recruitment as a cost, and therefore you need to get value, not recruitment at a cost, so we not need our fees to be really low. And funny enough, our fees are no different to most recruiters, but you just get a stack more value. So it's interesting. I think if you looked at our sort of journey over 15 years, obviously as you're building a business, you're just trying to have those conversations and get clients to experience you. And clients were going out to multiple recruiters, you know, thinking, you know, if we have more than one recruiter on it, we're going to exhaust the market. But you know, they weren't getting the quality through that way. And then we kind of had this real heyday where clients kind of, you know, were changing their mindset and realizing actually if you go with one recruiter who you can trust to do the right job, then that was better than anything. And that was like, yay, we've done it. Happy days. Then it started to go kind of down a little bit because then you've got clients wanting to do their own direct recruitment. So more than happy to go to an agency on a sold agency basis when they need them, but thinking they've got now the opportunity to recruit themselves direct before they need to go to a recruiter. So then you start the challenge all over again. I mean, what we're seeing at the moment, which does worry me quite a lot, is there's a lot of direct recruitment going on. And we've always understood it. If you can find your own candidates without having to spend money on recruitment, go for your life. Wouldn't we all? But it's noisy and it's getting messy. And there are brands which are seemingly doing it well. There's an awful lot which aren't. And what we're seeing a lot over the last year or so is candidates getting frustrated again. So going back a step, when I was talking about kind of when sort of there was a lot of multi-recruiters, you know, recruitment going on, and candidates like were hating the market and just like, you know, not a great candidate experience. And then it got a lot better. Now it's getting worse again. And you're seeing job seekers, you know, getting frustrated again. They're seeing loads of jobs. The copy isn't as informative as it should be. Salaries are missing. Wide skill sets, which, you know, real unicorn briefs, ghosting, lack of response, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's a bit sad to watch at the moment because I'm thinking, oh my God, the quality of recruitment was going up and now I can see it getting worse again. So I think going into this year, our challenge really, and there's always been our purpose actually, forgetting our business, just wants to raise the standards of recruitment. And so really want to get out there and just start educating the world as to what good recruitment looks like. Whether you want to do it yourself or whether you want to do it through a recruiter, let's kind of protect the candidate community who are just finding it incredibly frustrating. And the bottom line of that, which where no one wins, is the more you upset the candidate community, the more you're going to miss your candidate because they won't apply for jobs.
Yeah.
So nobody wins. So if everybody can get the quality up with how they're approaching recruitment, it's good for everybody. Then those businesses which, you know, like I said, fair enough, are having a go at their own direct recruitment, you know, it might be that they just can't do it well. And actually, they do need to actually spend the money on going to a good recruiter. And there's so many cost savings in that, which aren't obvious. And certainly the cost of someone not staying with you is huge, and the disruption and all those things. So yeah, I think our little vision is let's get recruitment really good out there. And if you can't do it well, because it's not your day job, then let's get back to, you know, really being discerning about which recruiters you work with. And there's a lot of good ones, you know, there's a lot of terrible ones, which don't help, but there are some good ones. And if businesses can pick up the phone and qualify their recruiter on value and efficiency and all those things, then that would be amazing. That would be a good turning point, I think. I'm talking
about so many industries. it's great. It's great information. I think, you know, there's so many industries, and clearly this is potentially falls in the same category where the focus goes on things like cost. And cutting corners and things like that, because there is a lack of understanding of the actual value, you know, or a lot of the time, people don't measure it correctly, you know, they're not measuring the extra time they're having to spend, actually, you know, not monitoring and valuing their own time, or the time of, you know, the multiple people in the business, you know.
Oh my God, that's so right. There's so many levels.
It's hidden costs, isn't it?
You know, we run a business. We understand how precious costs are. And, you know, since the pandemic, everything's changing all the time. It's hard to predict. there's a lot of project-based work going on, so you can't predict the future. And then overlay that on top of spending money on people who are dynamic, movable objects. You're not buying a washing machine until you don't want it anymore. You know, I understand that the immediate sort of, you know, mindset is, but what if that person doesn't stay? It's cost us X amount of pounds.
Yeah.
But what that does, it drives the quality down, and you're risking all the costs of your business of that person not working out. And what our message to people is, yes, it costs. Yes, these people are movable objects, but let's work really hard together to get it right. And there are so many ingredients about getting recruitment right. And actually, it isn't about a client-supplier relationship. It's about working together. We can do our bit. You need to do your bit. From the beginning, from the planning stage, right through to onboarding. And actually, if you take anything out of what the client needs to do and what we need to do, it's risking the whole process and risking getting the right person. So our best projects is when we team up with a client and go, right, we've got a job to do together. Let's do it. And it works time and time and time and time again. And it is that what we call, you know, we want to work with people positive businesses, which go, it costs, but we've got to get this right. And we totally get it. We've got to get it right. You know, I mean, we've only got a certain, you know, influence once they are in situ. Obviously, we're not in our clients' premises and being able to influence anything at that point, but we do work damn hard to really try and work with our client. You know, the other thing is, I think what hasn't really helped is obviously all this LinkedIn activity gives the perception that all you need to do to find candidates is post on LinkedIn, because we're all posting on LinkedIn, but there is so much more we're doing. It's crazy. And I'm going to get the figures a little bit wrong, but it was something like this, which I read last night, which was some insight that came out of LinkedIn, that currently, in terms of what the market's doing, about 5 to 10% of the candidate market open to a client when they're recruiting are active. Okay. And what active means is they are actively, seriously out there looking for a job. About 5 to 10% of the others are tiptoers. So they might, you know, thinking about it. And then you've got a huge swell of the market, which are passive, which is they haven't thought about it, but approach them with a compelling proposition, which really matches what they're all about. And they're in. So actually, just putting an ad out on Deed or just doing a piece of activity on LinkedIn, you could be missing an awful lot of people, which could be your perfect person. So it isn't just advertising. We're in a real multi-channel world. There's a level of advertising you need to do, but there's a lot of underground work that we do in terms of tools and platforms. So we know people might be looking. Our network is flipping massive, and people talk about people looking. So there's searching, there's advertising in multiple places. There's obviously the social content, and then it's keeping all those balls in the air all the time, because people's attention is so divided. Whatever you do once, you could be missing that person. So there's various layers of things that you need to do if you want to exhaust the market and you don't want to miss a candidate. But I think the times have changed. Like, I think out of that 5 to 10% of the active market, about 85% start with exploring their network if anyone knows of opportunities, because they're discerning. They don't really like applying for advertising, and there's different ways and means they can look for a job. So they're not necessarily up there waving their hands. So our job is keep loads of balls in the air, be everywhere on different platforms, in different places, so that you can capture the attention of that one perfect person. And you need to do that quickly. You can throw a campaign at it really quickly. But obviously what we're seeing out there is maybe one ad going out on Indeed or a post, and you can see that there's been loads of applications, but we know from what we do, you can have hundreds of applications. No one can be right.
Absolutely.
So it's more
especially in creative and marketing roles as well.
Partner, say that again.
Yeah, especially in creative and marketing roles as well. For certain businesses, they're, you know, they can be few and far between, and therefore there can be a lot of of candidates.
There's an awful lot. For, it's a very attractive role. Industry, isn't it? And also, yeah. I mean, there's a place for everybody. But often the messaging you see out there just isn't informative enough for the discerning candidates to want to apply and be invited for an interview without knowing more. So inevitably what you get I don't want to use a different phrase. I don't mean lazy. The majority of applications are quick apply, you know, that most of our clients are very discerning. They want great people, but equally those great people are very discerning and they want information. So our job is that middleman who can say, look, forget about that job. Talk to me about you. We call it our kind of impartial qualification process. Tell us all about you. Then we can talk about the job which actually fits and we'll give them more information about that job. Because if you see a job spec, more than not, information about the company, experience required, maybe some benefits, etc. That's fine. I mean, you can't write an essay online, but around that is what's the opportunity? What's given rise to this person leaving? What's their culture like? How's the team structured? There's so many questions a candidate's got when they're serious about their job search. And that's the 5 to 10% who are active. The ones which are tiptoeing or passive want to know even more. So the closer we can get to our clients and understand and ask all those questions which don't appear on job specs, the better job we do of engaging the right people and then feeling confident and trusting that this is well worth them taking that time out if they're invited to interview. So I think a lot of this direct recruitment is just getting back to being very transactional and not the quality end that the right candidates expect. We all need to be a bit watchful of that, I think. I mean, one of the other things we do at Beyond the Book, because we're quite happy to give away our time for nothing, is for businesses to have a chat with us and go, we're thinking about doing our own direct recruitment. Do you think we're properly set up for it? You know, we want to do it. We're not sure what makes great recruitment. We don't do sales pitches. We'll talk it through. Just let's all just work harder together to raise the standards and get it right, I think.
I mean, you mentioned the vision a little bit there. What is the kind of, you know, ultimate dream for the company? What is the big picture?
The big picture, I think, number one choice in specialist creative and marketing recruitment. That's the big vision. So that we are literally, you know, stand out as the first to come to. The sort of 2024 vision is to get to that point, is to make sure that we're out there a bit more and talking about ourselves, kind of for two reasons, really. One, to build trust. So we do a lot of activity online, but I think we just need to be a bit focused on we need to kind of provide evidence that we can be trusted. And there's different ways we can do that, you know, through referral, you know, getting people to recommend us and doing some more marketing around that. We invest in a data platform now, which measures candidate and client experience. So we've got data to back up, against loads of criteria throughout the whole process. We're measured and we want to be accountable. So we've got data we can start communicating. We've got testimonials coming out of our ears, which is another piece of evidence. I did write a few others down, actually. Bear with me. Where did I write that down? And then in terms of communicating what works, so we're going to do much more content around what makes good recruitment, and it's giving it away. But, you know, like I said, for the greater good of all, let's talk about what makes good recruitment. So I think we've got a presence. We've got a nice kind of looking, fairly solid brand. We're known, I think, by a fair whack of people. But I think people need to trust us that, you know, if they're going to spend money on recruitment and they think that they do, then we're the ones to come to. And also, do you know what? You know, me and Sal started the business, still here full time, still immersed in it, still care. So for want of a better expression, like, you know, we've always given a shit and our team feel it every single day and they do too. So we still really care. and we really care about other businesses, you know, growing businesses. We get it. It's, you know, it's important. So, yeah. So I guess this next year is about trust and education, and kind of using our network to help us really.
What are the biggest challenges that you can see coming up in terms of that plan?
The biggest challenge, how much noise, I think. We're going to see a lot of noise. I think when we last spoke, Simon, when we had our call a week or so ago, we were talking about the fact that when things were actually quite good, going back, what was it, two or three, I think from April 21 for that next subsequent 2 years, it was crazy busy. And I think a lot of our clients were getting back to their growth plans, which had all been put on hold. So they, you know, everybody waited to feel a bit more confident about what the market was doing. And then suddenly it was actually, we had wanted to be X size by this point or X profitable by this point. And therefore we need to recruit multiple people. So it went a bit nuts. Right. Hang on. What was your question again? I know I was going somewhere. When we last spoke. Yeah. And of course you're busy, got loads of projects on, great. And then things normalized going back this last year. A lot of places, both in industry and on the recruitment side, felt everything kind of normalized, get back a bit to normal. And you haven't been out there, haven't had the time to go out and put your face out there, get out into events, go back to proper client meetings. I mean, we have loads on video. It's great, but still nothing better than, you know, good old meetings. But I think the whole world is thinking like that now. And I think it's going, and I think it's good. Everyone's coming out, you know, back and wanting to have got probably a little bit more time than they had in those 2 years to do some more proactive stuff, raise their profile, raise awareness. So I think we're going to see a lot more video, a lot more podcasting, a lot more events. And so it'll be quite cluttered, I think. So the challenge really is how to stand out in quite a cluttered marketplace. And then the challenge of when people are a bit cautious about money, they do their own direct recruitment. And I get that. But if you can't, like I said, if you're struggling or you find it's not working or you think you're just not best set up for it, then go to, you know, to overcome that challenge, just qualify a really good specialist recruiter who gives a shit.
I think you've obviously mentioned a few things that you do at the moment. Like you say, you're very active. You've also mentioned some of the plans that you've got coming up, which sound really interesting, sound really exciting. What else do you lean into in terms of marketing your business? You know, what do you find works at the moment? What do you find is a challenge at the moment?
So we kind of got as far as, and again, it comes down to, and we were talking about this as well before, which is when you're immersed in your day job, it's so hard to find the time to do this, to do the proactive stuff, which you do need to keep doing. But we are really committed to that now this year. But I think we have a brand. We will be refreshing it just to keep current. And we've got a content strategy in terms of across all of us, the types of content we need to put out, which has been quite sort of written based. So we kind of, we made progress in the last couple of years, but we, from proper marketing principles in terms of generating leads, we haven't had that capability. So, and we haven't been employing analytics on our website, analytics on any of our mailers, et cetera. So we're making a bit of noise, saying some good stuff, but what's the word instead of the funnel? We haven't been capturing and converting business that we just don't know about. We don't know if anyone's sniffing around us unless they actually pick up the phone. So we want to keep up the awareness, do a bit more of that, but employ some proper marketing principles to actually to drive conversations. We need and want conversations. So it's tough when you know there's not loads of money flying around for everybody, but we have to invest in this year in some proper expertise. So we've got, we're working with a guy called George Gillard. I don't know if you know him, but he's a sort of senior brand creative strategist. So he's working with us on loads of areas of the creative and brand side and coordinating the marketing effort. We've pivoted someone's job here into coordinating the marketing effort. So we've got some bodies now to help us. And we need to do it. And actually, do you know what? Let's walk the talk, because all the time I'm saying that people out there are trying to do their own recruitment, but it's not their day job. We know that we are not marketeers. We need some help with that.
It's an education piece, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. But I think if we can start with getting, you know, like I said, building our credibility out there, it's, you know, the lead gen side is easier if they've heard about us, they know us, there's almost an element of trust already built. So both sides of that is really important. So I think from us as people in the business, we need to be out there talking a lot more. And then hopefully the marketing side will have more of a fighting chance of working.
I think, like you say, smoking out those hidden costs as well, and quashing those opinions on you know, shortcuts showing real benefit. So obviously, you know, hell of a long time the business has been going, and all your experience. What's the one piece of advice that you would give to another business owner,
a recruitment business owner?
Can be any, really.
Any business owner.
Whatever suits, yeah.
One piece of advice. Stay true to your purpose, because everything hangs off that. It makes decisions easier and spending money easier. Staying true to purpose. Advice. Know that things don't stay forever. Downtimes don't stay forever. I think we have a little mantra here, which is there's never been a problem that hasn't been solved. Anything in our lives, in work, if you think about it, we're still there. Somehow we solved the problem. So, you know, downtimes don't last forever. Thirdly, I think your ability to be agile has never been more important. I think we're in a changeable world. That's not going to, as technology is advanced, we're all having to play catch up all the time, and you need to be as nimble as possible. I think speak to, you know, over the years, various businesses who whatever worked once upon a time, and you've sensed this frustration, which is, you know, but it was going so well. It's going so well. And people don't want to change their habits or what worked before. It's not your fault. You know, the market changes, businesses have to evolve and pivot, but still stay true to what you are about and where your knowledge is greatest and where your value is greatest. Because I think you know, the world has the ability to be more transactional than ever before. And therefore, if you can't demonstrate value, and that value comes from where your knowledge is greatest, you might have some short-term wins, but not long-term wins. So stay true to what you're about, and change with the times in terms of your product offering, your service, how you talk about yourselves. I think that's my advice.
We touched on it on a call the other day. On the micro level, things are always changing. But on the macro, generally things are the same. You know, there's always something going on in the world. There's always going to be some crisis of some sort.
Right.
There's going to be challenges.
Yeah.
Costs will increase.
Yeah.
Always the same story. If you can be wise enough and have good enough vision and a strong purpose, like you said.
I think you're right. When it comes to recruitment, for example, I really haven't kind of disappeared down the AI. You know, I haven't done loads of research on it, because fundamentally it's still about people. And we're massive believers in, you know, if clients worry that people are movable, dynamic objects, and that's what the risk is for them, then really you need people to be talking to these changeable people. And I read something scary a couple of weeks ago that I don't know what AI platform it is or is going to be or whether it exists or it's in the future or whatever, but saying that candidates will be able to, or job seekers will be able to, you know, put a criteria into whatever piece of tech, which will basically then go and identify all the jobs and opportunities out there and just fire CV off without you having to do anything. Oh my God. Now, don't get me wrong, easy for a job seeker. I have to do things once and then something's doing it for me. But for a client who's recruiting direct or for a recruiter, when you're getting hundreds of interested, whether that's applications or interested people through other channels, it's going to get worse with trusting who's serious. You know,
I think
so, being true to, I still believe there's a human factor in recruitment, which is going to be needed more than ever before. I'm not against automation for things, you know, in terms of back end process and things like that, but a bit of, I guess, with you in the creative industry, you know, there's still a place for, you know, creativity without AI, although you have to embrace AI in other areas where it's going to be cost efficient for your business.
Yeah. Well, yeah, who knows about the future, but as we, you know, as we record this in January 2024, the state of play at the moment is it's still a level of it's only as good as the information that's put in the first place. So to get real good quality outcomes from any AI platform at the moment usually depends on the instructions and the information that's provided to it.
That's right.
Being put in by an expert. So
that's right.
AI may well end up taking a massive position in recruitment, but you will still need somebody with expertise and experience and everything else to be able to use it effectively. And you do get a lot of poor outcomes from AI because it's not been put in by someone asking the right questions, saying the right things, you know. And for that, again, you need experience, you need expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess what AI, if AI drives more sort of transactional recruiting, then there's a case to say that the recruiters out there who have been more transactional might be in trouble because, you know, if there's businesses which are just after CVs, they're quite happy to filter through 300 people, then they're not going to need a recruiter. So it kind of provides an opportunity for us that, you know, the good recruiters at the quality end are going to stand out. That's really good. And if we can help at the top of that, you know, funnel, to identify, you know, just to know the perils of recruitment and the hotspots and be able to advise our clients, you know, what strategy is going to cause everyone a whole world of pain, and stand out as being on the more relational side of recruitment rather than transactional, then AI doesn't pose a problem to us. As long as there's just got to be supply and demand, and we need clients demanding great recruitment and looking for it.
Well, we'll obviously point people to the Beyond the Book website, which is btbpeople.co.uk. We'll link to it in the show notes. we'll keep an eye on that as well. We'll link to that in the show notes, and we'll also link to your social media profiles. This has been a great conversation.
I want more conversations, Simon. So anybody out there, let's just have a chat.
No problem. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us, and I'm sure we could go on for so much more.
We will
again. So for everyone listening, you can find the links we mentioned in the show notes. You can find all content in business episodes at playfairmarketing.com/podcast. That includes spotlight sessions like the one today with Anna. And the podcast is also available on all major podcast platforms. And until next time, thanks for listening. And thank you, Anna.
And thank you again.